to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams and greetings once again from me, Raghu at Radio Psy. Raghu from Radio Psy. And once again, a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live. Till now you listened to Professor G. Venkatraman and he spoke to us on Dharma Vahini. Well, before the musings talk, I was there and I had asked you all a question. What was the original name of Mother Ishwarama? Well, tomorrow, May 6th, happens to be the Ishwarama Day, the day when Mother Ishwarama merged at Swami's lotus feet. So on that occasion, I asked this question, the original name of Mother Ishwarama. And I am happy that about 10 listeners have given me the correct answer. Well, the correct answer is Namagiriyamma. And let me just announce the names of the listeners who have given the correct answer. Mr. Ajay Rajan from Chennai. And another listener from Chennai, Mrs. Rajeshwari T.R. Then there's a listener from Johannesburg, South Africa, Ms. Sumana Patel. And few listeners from Mumbai, Mangal Chapekar, Dr. Jitendra Mulki, Mr. Shiv Kumar. And few listeners didn't say where they are from. They are Ms. Dharini Narayanan, Ms. Geeta Sundar, Yoga Kumaran Nadurajan. Well, thank you all for giving me the correct answer, and here is a round of applause for all of you from Team Radio Psy.
To Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Well, dear listeners, so now it's time for the segment Service Love in Action. Well, the time right now in our studio is 11:35 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and the weather at the ashram is quite hot, but the temperatures have slightly come down. It's about 39 degrees Celsius. Yesterday and day before yesterday, there was clouds in the sky for a couple of hours, and just for a couple of minutes there was drizzle. And a lot of breeze was there, so this has cooled down Parthi a bit, maybe by a degree or so, just that much. And we hope in coming days it rains heavily, at least for a couple of days. And as I said, as you all know, this is a segment Service Love in Action, and last week I had played for you a conversation with Mr. Suresh Bhatnagar. And in that conversation, sir was talking to us about the service activities that he rendered when he was in Afghanistan. So last week it was part one, and I had told that today I'll be playing for you the second part of the conversation. But there's a change and a surprise for all of you. Today I have with me Brother Ganesh. Sairam Ganesh and greetings.
Sairam Raghu, Sairam the listeners.
Well, listeners, I'm sure you all know who Brother Ganesh is. The Children's Hour fame, the Vedam Tutor fame. He is also with Sai Prasad and with Jagannath Rao sir are leading the Telugu segment of Radio Sai Global Harmony. In fact, he and Sai Prasad, in alternative weeks, they host the Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Sandesh Jari. So today he is with me, and last Thursday, as part of the Sri Satya Sai Sandesh Jari, the Telugu segment, Brother Ganesh started the the topic of the 8 flowers which we should offer to Lord. And when he was preparing for the segment, I was there and I thought, let us have it in English. Because in service segment, what's happening is I am playing the rebroadcast from rebroadcast segments, that is the interviews which I had conducted a couple of years ago. So what I had played last week was also the same interview. And if you are expecting the part two of that interview, I'm disappointing you, but don't worry, you can always download it from our website, radioside.org. You can go to the audio search and key in the names Suresh Bhatnagar and you'll get all the parts of the interview. So today we thought we'll discuss, from today onwards, in fact, it may spill over for a couple of another Thursdays, on the topic of 8 flowers which we should offer to Bhagawan. So, Brother Ganesh is with us. But dear listeners, this is the month of May, and in the month of April and May, when Swami was there in his physical form, as all of you know, he used to go to the hill station of Kodaikanal. And with him, few boys were very fortunate to accompany him to Kodaikanal. And Ganesh is one of that fortunate brother. And you know what, dear listeners, he has accompanied Swami thrice in the year 2005, 7 and 9. And when Swami is in Kodaikanal, he also for a few years has celebrated the first day, Ishwarama Day in Kodaikanal. And Ganesh happened to be there when Bhagwan celebrated Ishwarama Day. So before we get into our topic for today, that is the 8 forms of flowers that we should offer to Bhagwan, let's listen to few experiences that Brother Ganesh had during his Kodai visit on Ishwarama Day. Yes, Ganesh, so once again greetings and yes, please tell us.
Thank you, Raghu, for the kind invitation. And Sairam, dear listeners, it's a very happy feeling to share a few moments from the Kodaikanal trip of 2005 and 2007 when we were blessed to accompany Bhagwan to Kodaikanal. And as a part of those trips, Swami had celebrated Ishwarama Day very, very grandly, and we were all very fortunate to witness those two celebrations, especially in 2007, where I'm going to share a few thoughts and few incidents that happened during that particular year. A couple of days, this specifically I'm telling you about the year 2007.
Yeah, 2007, May 6th.
May 6th.
Yeah.
And because I vividly remember the 3 days, May 4th, May 5th and May 6th, the 3 days where Swami took a lot of interest in inquiring about what are the activities that are going to be held during Mother Ishwarama Day celebration. 2007, May 4th, Swami had very surprisingly arranged or lovingly given to all of us white cotton shirts. And as soon as we got down the stairs waiting for Swami, Swami was in fact waiting earlier than us actually, and Swami was having all these white shirts to distribute all these boys. And then so lovingly Swami told, see, Ishwarama Day celebrations are coming, and you have to wear good dress and present yourself properly.
Wow.
And then Swami had distributed each one of us a white cotton shirt. And to be very frank, we all looked so young, younger than what we were when we wore those shirts. And Swami was very particular that Ishwarama Day should be celebrated very, very grandly. And then on the 5th of May, as the sessions were going on inside with Swami, Swami had inquired all the elders about what are the preparations that are taking place for the Ishwarama Day. And specifically, Swami was mentioning about Narayan Seva. And it was planned that around 10,000 people are going to attend the function. Swami himself was telling that, see boys, tomorrow, Ishwarama Day, 10,000 people are going to attend the function and they are going to partake of Swami's prasadam. And he was giving very clear instructions to all the elders as to how the prasadam should be made.
Okay.
And the prasadam was Pulihora and Chakkar Pongal. As we all know, the delicacies that were served during Narayan Seva with Swami. And on this particular day, Swami was telling how much of jaggery to be added in the Pulihora.
Oh, okay.
And, the Chakkar Pongal. And
sweet.
And Swami was also telling that the Pulihora should have amazing aroma so that people would love to eat more.
Yeah.
And then Swami was inquiring about the Balavikas children who are going to attend the function. And Swami had specially arranged a different kind of kits for all the children who are attending the function.
Okay.
The kits included, it was a school kit, school bag kit, which had all the pencil, rubber, and ruler, and geometry box, a complete set for a child to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then along with that, a t-shirt for all the boys, and a school dress for all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the arrangement that was made. And Swami was so excited to tell all his children that tomorrow is my mother's function and I'm going to celebrate it so grandly. We could see the pride in Swami's eyes when Swami was making these arrangements. And he was all in full energy and enthusiasm for waiting for the event. Then comes the event May 6th. On May 6th, early morning, we had the habit of going for a walk around the lake early in the morning.
Hmm.
So after we finished
the...
All the boys,
okay.
All the boys. It was a specific instruction by Swami that we should all go for walking. And then the previous day itself, we were asked to assemble in the bhajan hall after our breakfast to arrange for the Narayan Seva. So behind Swami's residence, there is a bhajan hall, as everybody knows. And then all the plates that were to be served to the devotees were arranged by students and the Sevadal members also. And especially Swami specifically told all the boys to serve the prasadam in the plates. And once our breakfast was over, we all assembled in the bhajan hall. And in a row, we all arranged the plates. And then we served both Chakkar Pongal and the Pulihora prasadam. And as we were serving, Swami entered into the bhajan hall with all his majesty. And then he went around each row of the prasadam lines, and then he was checking whether anything was dropping outside the plate, how neatly the prasadam was served in the plate, so that the devotee should not face any discomfort while having the prasadam. So that the eye for detail which Swami goes to is a very important lesson for all of us to learn. And once Swami gave the green signal, the prasadam was taken outside to all the devotees. And it was indeed a very, very grand function, as the children were very, very geared up for this, and they were all singing songs on Mother Isharamma and expressing their love and gratitude to Swami for having given that beautiful opportunity. There was a specific theme song also that was going on as a part of this celebration.
Okay.
And then Swami distributed these kits to the children and prasadam to all the assembled devotees. So what happened was, after the Narayan Seva, we all assembled in the residence and we were sitting around Swami. Swami was asking all the boys that, have you all had anything after breakfast and all that, he was asking. And immediately one of the students, one of the brothers replied to Swami, "Swami, we are indeed very, very grateful to you for having given this opportunity to serve, especially on this auspicious occasion of Isharamma Day." And Swami was so thrilled to hear to what the boy was telling. And then Swami, without any delay, he answered, "Who else will get this opportunity? Meeku chala punyam vachindi, inkevariki ee avakasam chikkaledu, mee andaru chala adrishtavantulu." Meaning, he told, you all are very fortunate to have this opportunity, and no one else is going to get this opportunity of serving prasadam on this sacred day, and you have incurred lot of punyam
yeah.
by serving prasadam to all the devotees. And then it struck me that Swami, what exactly did we do? We didn't do any big task. The prasadam was made by the cooks.
Yeah.
They were the ones actually who struggled throughout the night in making the prasadam. We were just standing in the line and arranging the prasadam in the plates and then distributing it to the devotees. But Swami, in all his mercy and grace and all his love, he showered lot of blessings on all of us who served prasadam during that particular Isharamma day. So this was what happened during the Isharamma celebrations of 2007. Kodaikanal trip.
Wow, very nice. Thank you for sharing it. In fact, when you said that Swami told that a lot of punyam you have acquired after serving these people, I was just reminded, it seems once Sanjay San is said that, see, after every festival in Sai Kulanth Hall, Swami distributes the prasadam to all the devotees, and he says that students should participate. Students distribute the prasadam to all the devotees. And Swami, it seems, had said that these small acts of distributing prasadam to the devotees, laddu prasadam or sweet, will give me a chance in future to, when the students will require any help from me, these small acts of distributing prasadam will give me a chance in future to shower my grace on the students.
So this reminds me of the incident in Mahabharata when Mother Draupadi was being insulted in the court.
Yes, yes.
And when she prays to Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna then thinks, when she calls out to him as Hridayavasi, then Lord Krishna thinks, what punyam did she do? What act of giving did she do so that I can help her? And immediately it struck him that when during that Sankranti celebration, when Lord Krishna was flying the kite,
yes,
the rope cuts his finger, and immediately without any further second thought, Mother Draupadi, she tears her end of the sari and she ties around Krishna's finger. And that act of Draupadi comes to his mind, and immediately he showers the vastrams to Akshaya vastrams to Draupadi. So that's a very beautiful anecdote, Raghu.
Yeah, so was there any other celebration on the Isharamma day other than Narayan Seva?
This was the only celebration. And after that, yes, most importantly, in the evening time, Swami had given the discourse. And in that, Swami was narrating about the love of Mother Isharamma, and how she was very much worried when Swami was about to go to East Africa.
Yeah, correct.
And she was so innocent, the love of a mother. She didn't want Swami to go there, but Swami...
And in fact, she was, it seems, telling... she came to know that Swami, with his entourage, will be going to see the wildlife in Africa.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And then she was worried about it, and she was speaking to Professor Kasturi, the wildlife should not harm Swami. Then Professor Kasturi was saying, Swami, Mother, Swami is God. Then it seems Isharamma said, yes,
for you all, Swami is God, but for me, he is my son.
And also she added, see, I and you know Swami as God,
but the animals do not know.
But do the animals know that Swami is God? Yeah, very nice.
And then he even told in the discourse how Mother Isharamma breathed her last when Swami was conducting the summer classes in Vrindavan in 1972. On May 6th, when she breathed her last, and Swami was... Swami blessed her by putting water in her mouth, and all those incidents Swami was narrating. It was very, very moving, and Swami was so lovingly explaining about his Divine Mother.
In fact, this is a correct occasion, I think, to also remind ourselves of the three promises that Swami, that Isharamma, three wishes, in fact, that Isharamma had to Swami. The first wish was that Puttaparthi didn't have a well. So people were struggling for drinking water. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Swami not only got it well dug for the people from Puttaparthi, but he started many drinking water projects which quenched the thirsts of millions of people. Mm-hmm. And the second wish was Ishwarama wanted a school in Puttaparthi, and this school went on to become an institution, a university with four campuses, Puttaparthi, Brindavan, Muthinalli and Anantapur. And as if this was not enough, then Swami started the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini project. And the third wish was about
the hospital
to be constructed in Puttaparthi. And we know that four hospitals have been constructed, two general hospital, two super specialty hospital, everything free of cost. And another mobile hospital, Sri Satya Sai mobile hospital, which goes to the villages around Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ganesh, thank
Indeed,
you.
Actually, Raghu, yeah, I just please. Wanted to add sure. one more point. We all are sitting here and enjoying all the comforts which Mother Ishwarama had prayed Swami for.
Correct.
And Swami, by blessing Mother Ishwarama, had given us these beautiful opportunities to study in Swami's institute,
yes.
drink Swami's water, and then enjoy the facilities of the hospital,
Very
totally
true.
Free of cost.
Very true. So, as expressing our gratitude to Mother Ishwarama, let's play a small bhajan on Mother Ishwarama. This beautiful bhajan is sung by Brother Srinivaslu, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University.
Dhanya ho Ishwara Dhanya ho Ishwaramba Jag ko di jo Lal Baba Jag ko di jo Lal Baba Dhanya ho Dhanya ho Kali Yug mein avatar liye सकल चराचर के भगवान कलयुग में अवतार लिए सकल चराचर के भगवान जगदो जग को दीजो लाल बाबा
So that was a beautiful rendering, a bhajan on Mother Ishwarama by Brother Srinivaslu, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University. So with that, dear listeners, let's come to the topic of today's conversation with Brother Ganesh. The topic is the eight forms of flowers that the real 8 forms of flowers which we should offer to the Lord. Generally, when we pray to God, when we pray, when we do the rituals, we offer flowers to the Lord. We decorate Lord's photos, Lord's idols everywhere with flowers. Flowers is the main ingredient for almost all rituals and pujas that we do. Now these flowers, they fade away and get decay. And in one of Swami's discourses, Swami said that if we generally remain in the state of doing rituals and worship, we will also remain in the same state. We will not grow spiritually. So we should really understand what are the real flowers which we should offer to God. So Swami in a discourse has said that there are 8 forms of flowers which we should offer to the Lord.
So before we get into the explanation of all these 8 flowers, Raghu, I think it's nice to hear directly from Swami about what these 8 flowers are. And in one of the discourses in 2002 of Krishnashtami, Swami tells what these 8 flowers are. Can you just play the discourse?
Yeah, sure.
Ahimsa Paramam Dharmam Ahimsa Paramam Dharmam Dharmam Sarvabhuteshu Sarvabhuta Daya Shantam Sarvabhuta Dharam Sivam Prema Swarupulara.
Embodiments of love.
Bhagavantudu Asinchunadi Shodasopacharamulu Kadu.
God does not expect from you rituals.
Astadasa Puranamulu Kadu.
Not the knowledge of the sacred texts either.
Pavitramayinatuvanti konni pushpamulu matrame thanu aashistadu.
And Swami beautifully tells that the flowers in the nature always fade away, drop down, lose fragrance, and also develop an odor which is not pleasant. And instead of worshipping God with such worldly flowers which are impermanent and receiving impermanence rewards from God, Swami tells that we should worship Him with what is truthful and thereby attain a stage which is much higher than this physical level. And in this clip, what we had heard, Swami was mentioning about the 8 flowers, 8 types of flowers that have to be offered to God. So the first flower with which we can worship God is Ahimsa or non-violence. The second flower is Dhamma or control of senses or Indriya Nigraham. The third flower is Daya Pushpam, or which is also called the compassion towards all beings. And the fourth one is Kshama Pushpam, which is the forbearance.
Well, the fifth flower is Shanti, peace. The sixth is Tapas, penance. And the seventh flower which we should offer to Lord is Dhyana, meditation. And the final flower is Satya, truth. So today we will discuss on the first flower, that is Ahimsa. And as we go on, we will discuss the other flowers also.
So actually Swami is telling the flowers which you are using for worship were not created by you. And you are also bringing the flowers which have been created by the Lord's will. So on some tree or garden or and we are offering them back to God Himself.
Yes.
So Swami is referring that what is the greatness in offering what is already His.
Mm.
Okay. So the first And Swami compares it to a person who is standing in the Ganges and he takes a palm full of water and offers it back to Lord Ganga, Goddess Ganga.
Correct.
And what is the use of such offering, Swami tells?
Everything is his creation.
Everything is his creation.
We are giving it back to the Creator.
What is ours that we have to offer?
Correct.
The good thoughts, the good deeds and the good things what we have in us. We should cultivate the good and offer it back to God. That is what Swami tells. In the sequence of these eight flowers, the first thing that Swami stresses upon is Ahimsa Pushpam, or the flower of non-violence. So, we regard the word Ahimsa to mean not causing harm and not hurting other living beings. So, but the true meaning of the word is not to cause hurt and harm to any other living being, either by thought, word or deed. So, cleansing and purifying these three, that is the thought, word and deed, Swami calls it as Triputi in spiritual parlance. This kind of flower or the Ahimsa flower has been described as Tridalam Trigunakaram Trinetram Chatriyayadam. Swami compares it to that and then in that Trigunam, Triputi and Ekabilvam. And all of them should be harmonized and brought together to one unit of a flower. So this is what Swami talks about as the first flower that has to be offered to God.
Yeah. So not hurting and harming anyone physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically is what is Ahimsa.
Mm.
So let's talk about it in detail. First is the getting thoughts. We should not get a bad thought.
Actually, Raghu, before we go into the thought level, at the physical level itself, when we consider about not harming anybody.
Correct.
Going to the thought level is a very, very difficult situation. But this reminds me of a very beautiful incident that happened to, that happened in the ashram of Swami Sivananda. It's a very interesting incident. A disciple of Swami Sivananda was staying in the kutir and he was doing his sadhana there. And as his sadhana was progressing, one particular day, in the morning of one day, a mosquito comes and starts biting him on his thigh.
Mm.
And then the person who is, the disciple who was doing his sadhana, he just looks at the mosquito and he feels the pain that the mosquito is biting him and he wants to kill that mosquito.
Mm. He curses the mosquito
and he wants to kill it actually.
Mm.
That was a thought which passed through his mind.
Okay.
And he wants to kill it, but inside him something tells him that no, don't kill.
Don't kill. It's Ahimsa.
Yeah, it's Ahimsa.
Non-violence.
And he immediately he stops and he doesn't kill. So at the same point of time, Swami Sivananda enters and he sees this incident happening. And then he immediately tells the disciple that, see, already in your thought level, you have killed it.
Mm.
So better kill it now. So immediately he kills the mosquito and then he gets rid of the thought. So at that level, Swami asks us to have the, follow the path of Ahimsa or non-violence.
In fact, if we just see the India's freedom struggle, the main weapon of India's freedom struggle was truth and non-violence.
Yes, very much.
It is said that the weapon of India's freedom struggle was not atomic, but it was atmic.
Atmic, very much.
Isn't it nice?
Yes.
Mahatma Gandhi, if we take the name of Mahatma Gandhi, what actually comes to our mind is his non-violence
movement.
His Satyagraha movement. Mm. In fact, Mahatma Gandhi took the act of non-violence to one more step, a higher step.
Mm.
It seems he was a very strict disciplinarian and he considered that even we should not harm others in our in thought. That's what we are talking about.
Yes.
And he was always, he always attended, if he had to attend any event or meeting, he considered it himsa if he attends the meeting late.
Okay.
So he even went to that level. He said that it's causing harm to the people who have come there, who are waiting for him.
Causing any kind of inconvenience is himsa.
Yeah, for him it was such like that. So unfortunately what happened was one day He was late by 5 minutes for a morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to be the last day of his life. And he just entered the event and he looked at his clock and he said, "Oh, I'm late by 5 minutes." And that day he was assassinated. But he died with the name of Lord in his lips. Hey Ram, right?
Yes, very much. And if we see at the word level, when we have to follow this ahimsa, there are number of examples which come to our mind. But recently I had just, while I was browsing, I had come across an incident that happened in Solomon's Islands in Pacific, somewhere in the Pacific. And the incident goes as such actually. In the Solomon's Island in South Pacific, some villagers practice a unique form of logging. There are huge trees.
Logging.
So, if they have to fell the trees.
Okay.
So, if a tree is too large to be felled with an axe, then the natives cut it down by yelling at it. See, if you can't lay hands on that, okay, you just sit around. What happens is the woodsmen with special powers creep up on the tree at dawn, and then suddenly scream at it at the top of their lungs. They continue this for 30 long days. And then the tree dies and falls over.
They curse the tree, abuse the tree. Oh, God.
And we can see through this incident how powerful word is.
Word.
Swami very often keeps telling in his discourses that kaalu jarina paravaledu gaani nooru jarigithe chaala kashtam. Means even if your leg slips, it is no problem. But if your tongue slips, it's a very, very dangerous situation. Because tongue is protected by all the 32 teeth. There are 2 eyes, 2 ears, but there is only one tongue that is given to us, and we have to use that tongue in a very sacred way, which cannot or which should not cause harm or pain to other living being.
In fact, all the sense organs that we have got only one work to do, but tongue has got 2 works, that is through words and also to eat, right?
Yes.
In fact, talking about words creating himsa, I am just reminded of one experience that Professor Venkatraman sir had said in one of his talks. It seems the incident happened in Thrai Vrindavan, when Swami had called all boys inside Thrai, and Swami was speaking to Venkatraman sir. He was just asking Amy Samacharam, what is the news, etc. So sir said, "Swami, today day went on well. This morning there was a foyer talk, and a boy spoke on the topic next slides." So, and he said many things that had happened, and Swami said, okay, you sit. Then after some time, Swami slowly took the topic. It seems Swami asked, "Who is that boy who spoke on next slides?" Then, shiveringly, tremblingly, the boy got up and he said, "Swami, I spoke on next slides." Then Swami, it seems, asked, "Have you seen Naxalites? Have you spoken to them?" Then the boy said, no, Swami. "Then how could you speak on Naxalites?" "Swami, I read about them on paper, newspaper." "Oh, newspaper, is it? Okay, sit." Then the boy was relieved and he sat. Then again, after some time, Swami just told his sims, "See, you all are worse than Naxalites." Swami told all boys. Then there was some noise. "Oh, Swami, what is this?" All boys. And one teacher, bravely, he got up and told him, "Swami, what you are saying, Swami, we are worse than Naxalites." Then Swami said, "You are the worst among them." Is it? Then Swami went on to explain, "See, Naxalites cause harm with their weapons, with the knife or with the gun. So if there is a knife injury or bullet injury, the person will either die or
it can heal.
Eventually it will heal. But what you cause harm is through your words, which won't heal which will never heal." So through this, Swami drives home the lesson that it is through words that himsa is caused mainly. So we should speak good words.
And it's very important for all of us to remind ourselves whenever we are speaking to someone that we should speak softly and we should always speak the truth or what is sweet and soft. That's what Swami has been doing to all of us also. Whenever any devotee approaches Swami, Swami always spoke to all of us so lovingly and caringly. That was always the case with Swami. He never spoke harshly or roughly to anyone. So that is how Swami had transformed each and every person who had come to him through his love. And Swami, now I'm reminded of a small quote from a discourse which Swami gave in 1970 during his birthday discourse. He tells that the main purpose of Sri Satya Sai Seva organization is to transform the individuals, and the main two mottos are to spread love and non-violence.
Okay.
So these are the two main important things on which the entire Satya Sai Seva organizations run. So that was Swami's message on 1970 during his birthday celebration.
Okay. So through words we create Himsa, and through our actions also. Mm-hmm. In fact, from Swami's childhood life, we can narrate many incidents through which Swami says that we should not do Himsa through our actions.
So when you are telling this childhood incidents of Swami and Ahimsa, I'm just reminded of the serial when we were seeing Shirdi Sai Patti Sai Divya Katha.
Correct.
Which used to come every Sunday.
Directed by Mrs. Anjali Devi.
Anjali Devi. We all used to wait eagerly in the hostel.
It's a beautiful series.
Yes, it's a beautiful series. And in that, this particular story was very nicely depicted, wherein all the children who were accompanying Swami to the school, they used to catch frogs from the Chitravati River, and they used to torture those small beings. As an act of play.
Just for fun.
In their ignorance.
Correct.
In their ignorance. But Swami, even as they were children only, Swami had taught them all the lessons that, see, at this level onwards, you should not harm anyone. And to teach them a lesson, he never scolded the children. He could have scolded, but he never scolded. But what he did was, when they put a basket around those frogs which were gathered as a big heap, they put a basket, and Swami in all his divinity, he just made them into, transformed them into pigeons, and as they opened the, took out the basket, all the frogs got transformed to pigeons, and they flew away.
Yeah, wow, nice.
Yes.
In fact, in the same serial, we also see that in Parthi, at that time, the villagers had some habits of again torturing the animals by bullock cart races and cock fights, right? While bullock cart races, many people sit on the bullock cart and they beat the bullocks.
Actually,
to Swami, run fast.
Swami used to, Swami described in one of his discourses about how these bullock cart races used to happen. Swami used to tell that hefty fellows, like all wrestlers, they used to climb on this bullock cart and sit on the cart, and papam those
bullocks,
they could not,
they won't be able to take the weight of the
weight
people.
Weight of the people.
And they keep hitting the bullocks to run fast and fast and fast. And there was also another thing they used to do is the cockfight. They used to tie small knives in the foot of the cocks, and the cockfight, and one of the...
They used to get seriously injured in the process of the fight. Yes.
So what Swami used to do is, Swami used to catch the youngsters.
The children of those elders.
Children of those elders. And he used to tell them, see, this is not good, this is Himsa. And these children transform the elders. So from that time itself, Swami used to catch the youth, right? Even now he does the same thing. The youth has to be transformed first.
See, this concept of Ahimsa, or whatever we learn, it should start from our childhood only.
Correct.
Because once it we cultivate it in our life, it becomes a habit, and that transforms into our character also. And Swami so beautifully, during his childhood, he practiced everything and he preached.
That
is the most beautiful thing.
Correct. That's very important. We should practice first before we preach, before we tell others.
Actually, I am reminded of a very beautiful incident. We had interviewed a a devotee who works, who serves in the South Indian canteen in the Laddu section. His name is Mr. Subba Reddy. And what happens is, he is an illiterate villager from the Nellore district of Andhra Pradesh. So he came to Swami around 35, 40 years back. And that time when he was a kid, he used to rear lambs. Mm. So in that, he had a very cute lamb. And he had fed the lamb so lovingly for one full year. But because of their financial condition, he had to sell that lamb. And he had sold it. The next day, he comes to know through one of his friends that this happened in his childhood. So one of his friends comes and tells that, "Are, what did you do with that lamb? See what happened to that." And then Subba Reddy goes running and finds the lamb hanging upside down, dead, hanging from a tree.
Okay.
And the flesh of that lamb is being cut.
Oh.
And then so he feels very bad that because of his act of giving away this lamb, he had caused harm to this particular lamb.
The lamb was given to some butcher and he killed the lamb.
So he wanted to get rid of this sin. So he wanted to visit some temple or a Mahapurusha to get rid of this sin. So then he rushes to his mother and tells, "Mother, I have committed a great sin by hurting this lamb. It's an absolute act of violence. So I want to somehow get rid of this." And in the meantime,
Get rid of the sin.
Mm. So his mother's sister comes and tells that, "See, there is a great saint, great Mahapurusha by name Satya Sai Baba in Puttaparthi. Come, we'll go to him." And then he takes this opportunity to come to Swami. He travels for 3 long days in a train. He changes 3 trains and he comes to Prashantralayam. He comes along with his mother and mother's sister. And then all 3 of them arrange their luggage. That time, Parthi was full of sand in front of the mandir. And then they take shelter under a tree. And then opposite to Swami's mandir. And he refuses to take even a drop of water until Swami gives him darshan and forgives him for what sin he has committed of hurting the lamb.
Hmm,
so then he doesn't budge to drink water. And then suddenly out of the blue, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, Swami comes out of his room and he stands in the balcony and he looks at Subba Reddy Garu and he raises both his arms in Abhayahastam and then he points out to his tummy, which indicated him to, it indicated him that, "Okay boy, now I have forgiven your sin, you have repented and I have forgiven you, now you have food."
Mm.
And at that point of time, Subba Reddy felt so happy that he got rid of his sin of committing the act of violence by killing that lamb. And that's how he got into Swami's fold.
Okay. Really nice act of this person. Hats off to him.
Mm.
In fact, Ganesh, if you don't mind, can you also narrate that cat incident about that non-violence?
Okay. What happened is, this particular incident was mentioned in Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And what happens is, there is a, this happened somewhere in the state of Assam.
Yeah, Northeast India.
This event happened in on November 23rd, during Swami's birthday. So what happens is, about 60 devotees had arrived from far away Guwahati, which is the capital of Assam. So then what happened? They had traveled in a special railway coach for 7 days and they reached Bangalore. And they had before them another week-long ordeal to come back home, go back home. Okay, Swami appreciated their devotion and granted them darshan and a short spiritual discourse in the prayer hall. So he saw in the group a girl named Lucky. Okay. Mm. And Swami was actually distributing vibhuti to all the 100 devotees that were present in that group. So what happened is, he specially came to this girl Lucky and then he gave her vibhuti packet and then after giving her vibhuti packet, Swami gave one more vibhuti packet and he told, ye billi ke liye, this is for the cat.
I think you missed out saying what violence had happened to the cat in Guwahati.
Yes, that I'm going to narrate.
Okay, sorry for interrupting.
So what happened was, back in Guwahati, this Lucky had a small pet cat. So her sister did not like to encourage cats or pets at home. So what happened one day was, there were some guests in their house and they had prepared certain special dishes for all the guests. And this cat happened to get onto the dining table and pick up one fish and run away.
Okay.
So this, the sister of this Lucky didn't like the act of the cat and she spanked the cat out of shape for picking up that fish piece. So then what happened was suddenly there were 16 pictures of Swami in the in their house.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the cat got this beating, all the 16 pictures at their home fell down and the glass pieces broke, but nothing happened to the pictures. So then they felt that Swami did not like this act of hers. Mm. And this girl, Lucky, was feeling very bad, and even her sister too. And then what happened? They were looking at that cat very with the guilt of hitting the cat. The cat in all its innocence tried to just, it shook its entire body. And what wonder they saw was, there was vibhuti fragrance all over the body of the cat.
Okay.
And that time they could feel the presence of Swami there. And the same thing Swami had reciprocated when they came to Parthi, and Swami gave the vibhuti packet especially for that
for the cat.
And, yes. So at that level Swami didn't want people to even harm the animals. They cannot speak.
Yeah, correct.
They can only express themselves through their love. So we also have to share the same love and the compassion towards these beings.
Ahimsa, non-violence means not hurting and harming any living creature.
Any living creature.
In fact, it said Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. One of the greatest dharma is Ahimsa.
Yes.
In fact, Ganesh, the time is already 12:25 and we had planned for playing a clip from Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram. Well, we'll keep it for next week, but let's share a few points how we can avoid this non-violence. Like I would like to narrate an incident.
Yes.
In Gujarat, once it seems there was a riot broke down. There was a lot of violence. Mm-hmm. People were just fighting with each other. In fact, few people had knives and they were killing each other. So there was one particular boy, and from his house he was seeing this violence happening. So he was just thinking, well, violence, what I can do from my part? What is my dharma? Well, he can't just go out and say non-violence is real dharma and please stop fighting. Mm. Nobody is going to listen to them.
Mm.
So the first thing that came to his mind was, see, a lot of harm is going on. Let me not participate in this.
Mm.
So if we can't help others, let's not at least hurt others.
Mm.
So this was the first thing that he thought. Then the second thought that came to him was, see, there are few people among the group of people who are fighting, whom I know, who are my friends.
Mm.
So let me silently go to them and at least
stop them
from doing harm.
Mm.
So this was the second thought that came to him. And the third thought that came to him was, see, there are few of them who got injured. Let me at least go and help them.
Mm.
Let me console them.
Mm.
Let me at least go and talk to them nicely, speak to them good words, which is also, he thought, is a part of non-violence.
Mm.
So the Trikarna Shuddhi, I feel, is very important because thought, word and deed.
Mm.
The action.
Mm.
The action starts from the thought.
Thought, yes.
The thought transforms into words and words transforms into action.
Yes.
So, to have a good thought, we should see good and hear good, listen to good words, right?
Yes. Yes.
So let's conclude, Ganesh. In fact, you were saying what Swami had told about the mind aspect, right? We can conclude with that.
Actually, what we have to practice is that if we see the quote of Jesus, do unto others what you want others to do unto you.
Correct.
So when we look at that, see what you want others to do unto you, you should first reciprocate it to others. So if you respect others and if you don't hurt others, others will automatically hesitate to hurt you or cause harm to you. So in that way, if you spread love,
correct,
and harmony, and I'm sure Swami did the same thing. Through his love, he transformed everyone. So if we start cultivating love and respect towards all living beings, as Swami tells, then automatically the entire creation will reciprocate in the same way by expressing its love and compassion to us.
Also, taking it to another level, if we see God in others, we,
yes,
won't hurt anyone. Right?
Yes, very much.
If we see Swami in others. So let's try to practice this, to see Swami in others, to love others so that we won't hurt others. As you quoted what Jesus said, do unto others what you want others to do unto you. Well, with that, dear listeners, we are concluding for today. And we had few more things to talk about ahimsa, which we will talk in the next week. And ahimsa is just one of the flowers which we should offer to the Lord. The eight flowers, let me once again repeat, are ahimsa, non-violence, then control of senses, daya, compassion, kshama, forbearance, shanti, peace, tapas, penance, dhyana, meditation, and the eighth is satya, truth. So as I said, in the coming weeks, coming Thursdays, we will be discussing all the eight flowers, and today we discussed the first flower, that is ahimsa. Thank you, Ganesh, for joining me, and I'm sure you will join me again next Thursday, right?
Sure, sure. Thank you, Raghu, for this opportunity. Thank you, listeners, for listening to me patiently.
Yeah, and in few minutes from now, you will be joined by Arvind and Prem for the afternoon satsang. Let's listen to a small song on Mother Ishwarama, because tomorrow happens to be the Ishwarama Day.
Thank you. धन्य हुए जो